Welcome to the Endpoints Podcast, presented by the ALS Therapy Development Institute. I'm Jonathan Gang. When dealing with a disease like ALS, it can be hard to know where to turn for information and advice. While your doctors and care team might be able to provide some answers to your questions, there are many topics that they might not be equipped to handle. There are many resources available on the internet, but it can be hard to know if you've found a reputable source. Rune is an app that aims to help solve this problem. It provides answers to questions about diseases, including ALS, in the form of short video clips featuring researchers, doctors, caregivers, people with the disease, and more. They provide information about topics like treatments, current research into the causes of the disease, and advice about day-to-day life. Today, on Endpoints, we're joined by Rune's co-founder and CEO, Vikram Bhaskaran, to tell us more about the app and how his own personal experience with ALS helped inspire it. Thanks so much for joining us today, Vikram. Just to get going, I understand you have a bit of a personal connection to ALS that might have inspired this app. So maybe you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and your connection to the disease.
Yeah, so I'm very excited to be on the podcast. Thank you for hosting me. My name is Vikram, and I'm the CEO and co-founder of Rune. A little bit of background on myself and how I came to this space. You know, I was an internet person working at Pinterest for many years in a variety of different roles. Loved my job, and it was, you know, one of the highlights of my professional career, helping build and scale that company. In that journey, however, my father was actually diagnosed with ALS. My father was diagnosed in 2013 with ALS, and he passed in 2018. He was in India at the time, and you know, as a son of someone with ALS, the years after, both the years leading up to the diagnosis, as well as the 5 to 6 years after, you know, were really trying for me and my family. Like most caregivers, we initially didn't know if it was ALS. It took us about, you know, 2 years to find a diagnosis. And because he was in India, India has a massive neurology shortage, we couldn't really find experts that would give him a straight diagnosis. And so after 2 years of this journey, we finally had the good fortune of flying him to California to see a neurologist, Catherine Lohman at UCSF, which is when he was given the diagnosis. But really, you know, it was a short meeting, and he was in shock. We were in shock. And we left that meeting with just, you know, so many questions. And because he was in India, when he flew back, you know, and because of the massive shortage of ALS experts, we turned to the internet. You know, we went to Google, and, you know, Google will immediately tell you that you have 2 to 3 years to live. We turned to Facebook groups, which we found really overwhelming. Facebook groups tend to be great, but just rife with misinformation. You know, in India, because of the just lack of community, we felt very isolated as a family. You know, this diagnosis makes your world shrink. And so it just got me thinking, you know, I was at Pinterest, internet executive, really getting some of the brightest minds of our generation to work on technology that helped people feel inspired. And so many of my peers in the tech world, you know, were building apps that, you know, the next app to help you order pizza from a couch, or watch videos of people dancing, or find recipes online. And it just occurred to me that we were spending, you know, billions of dollars of capital and human energy and creativity, you know, on these apps that were helpful. But when most of us are in a health crisis, like the one I went through, you know, the internet is a really scary place. And so Rune really was born of this realization that a provocation, really, which was, you know, what would have to be true for us not to be ashamed by the internet? What would have to be true for doctors around the world to say, hey, go to this one place to find, you know, answers to questions And that sparked the idea of Rune. I was, you know, stuck in the pandemic with a friend of mine, Rohan, who is a neurosurgeon at Weill Cornell, and I started talking about this idea with him. You know, and he saw it from the perspective of a neurosurgeon treating glioblastoma patients. You know, and he validated that, you know, even at the most elite academic medical hospitals in the nation, you know, when you're diagnosed with something hard, they give you this PDF that is clinical and cold and, you know, anodyne. And, you know, for his patients, brain cancer patients, they all went online when they left their clinic to find answers to questions. And the story was the same. And so, you know, it was this, as you got out of ALS, as you got out of glioblastoma, and as I started speaking to really everyone, I realized that this was kind of a universal theme. You know, there's that famous sort of Rosalind Carter quote that there are only four kinds of people in the world, you know, those who have been caregivers, those who are currently caregivers, and those who will be caregivers, and those who will need to be a caregiver. And so I think that that sentiment is quite true you know, of health, where really everyone will be a patient or caregiver at some point. And it's crazy to think that your journey with health will almost always, you know, start or end with a doctor, and then you spend all of this time researching your condition online. And even today, you know, there's really no place online that people feel excited to send you that's rooted in medicine and science and compassion. And so that was the genesis of Rune. And then, you know, as we were building this service, we were able to attract some incredible people from completely different disciplines: designers, product managers, storytellers, public health experts, really all who came together around this mission. One particular person, Joshua Lang, is a Harvard-trained cardiologist whose sister passed away from ALS, and he's now on our team as our medical director, you know, building this app for ALS patients. And just like Josh, there's a group of other folks who've all been touched by health and who all have decided to really apply their craft, whether it's design, product, or engineering, you know, to this space. My CTO, Arun, he was also with me at Pinterest, and you know, is a caregiver for someone navigating a really hard health condition, and was also motivated to apply his smarts and engineering to the space. And so I think one of the most fun parts of working on this is it takes an interdisciplinary team to really reimagine what health looks like online. And I'm very proud to have some of the brightest minds in tech and engineering and design, you know, working alongside me to build this for ALS, but really for all of health.
Got it. And yeah, to that end, can you say a little more about what Rune is, you know, what the app is that you've created, and how it works?
Yeah, so Rune's vision is to be the place online where people navigating health conditions can go to find information, community, and support. We have this huge vision, ambition to be kind of the digital front door for all of health, really. So we imagine a world where, you know, instead of saying don't go to Dr. Google, people go to Rune, and they're met with, you know, information, community, and support. Functionally, what is Rune today? You know, it's a question and answer platform where anyone can browse and consume medically vetted answers to common questions that come up in a health journey. The answers come from both medical experts as well as people with lived experiences, and all the questions and answers are organized into topics and subtopics. And so Rune is really this kind of companion app to a hard journey. We like to be sort of your best friend for this like very, very hard journey that you're navigating, with all the answers that people have, and that you should all the questions that you should ask in a journey. So it's an empathetic companion with answers to common questions. On the app, you can search for questions. We built a very easy and intuitive search function if you're looking for something specific. And if you don't know what you're looking for, very often in health, people don't even know the questions to ask. You can browse what we call guides that allow you to navigate common topics, you know, whether it's symptom management or treatments or mental health or caregiver support. The way we think about it is when you're diagnosed with a health condition, it's kind of like landing in a new city without a map. And so Rune is, you know, this companion and navigator for a really hard health journey. And currently we serve people who are touched by ALS and glioblastoma.
Mm-hmm.
I will say for the experts on the platform, we have this big insight that, you know, most of the world's experts are time famished. There's this kind of massive physician burnout in this country, in the United States. You know, and most experts, they go to med school and they graduate and, you know, they've always wanted to be in service of patients and caregivers, but so much of their time is trapped in administrative work. And I think most of the experts we speak to, you know, feel that guilt that they can't reach everyone or answer everyone's question. And so for the experts on the platform, Rune serves as a way to scale their expertise to reach people just way beyond their clinics, and to also have people experience experts, you know, in their own time and on their own terms. We all know when we go into a clinic, there's most people remember less than 10% of what someone says, and so Rune allows people to experience those experts, you know, on their own time, you know, asynchronously.
Got it. And you know, obviously you have your personal experience to draw from a little bit, but just in general, can you say a little more about how you pick which questions you're going to answer on the app?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, just to build on the content question, one of the things I want to say first and come back to is, you know, when we think of what content to choose on the app, we really start with both a top-down and a bottoms-up approach. So I'll start with the bottoms-up approach. So we spend as a team, you know, hundreds of hours on online health communities and Facebook groups where we kind of study, you know, what questions are people actually asking. And very often when people turn online, it's because someone in the system hasn't addressed a need or a question. You know, they're turning to their community as it were to get an answer. So for example, a classic question, you know, on Facebook is around just like clinical trials and clinical trial enrollment and the chaos around like, what trial should I enroll in? We'll take that and add it to our database. You know, people will turn to Facebook, ask questions about, you know, much deeper existential things like end of life planning and how do I find meaning if I have a terminal diagnosis? And we'll take questions like that and add it to our services. And so we start with a bottoms-up approach of like, what are people actually asking online? And we build our database. And then the tops-down approach also is really interesting. We sit down with, you know, our medical team and we'll say like, hey, what are the questions you get over and over again? You know, Dr. Jinzi Andrews at Columbia is one of the inspirations of the service. And she says, hey, these are the 20 questions I answer almost every day in clinic. And we get those questions and we seed the service with those questions as well. You know, she recently said that people ask her if you can catch ALS, like if ALS is something you can get from somewhere else. That's an interesting question that, you know, a patient asked her that's on the service. But then deeper questions like, should I get genetic testing if I know that a family member has ALS? And so between the top down and the bottom approach, we really see the service with almost all of the most common questions that people have.
So the people answering these questions, can you say a little bit more about who they are and how you choose them, you know, particularly the people who are talking about ALS on the app?
Yep. So very broadly, we look for this overlapping Venn diagram of people with deep expertise and people who can communicate with confidence, clarity, and compassion. I call it the three C's. And then in terms of expertise, we tap into healthcare providers as well as people living with a condition and their care partners. You know, one of the things that makes the service really special is, you know, we believe that there are certain questions that only someone with an MD next to their name should answer, right? Questions about like what treatment should I take or drug interactions. But then there are questions where providers really have no idea, where they have a limited window into the lives of people living with their conditions. You know, if you ask a famous neurologist about like retrofitting your home, or how to communicate a difficult diagnosis to your children, you know, or what does intimacy look like in ALS? These are questions that usually people want to hear from others that have lived the condition. And so we source, you know, you have to have this like, there's a bar for expertise and good communication. But then we source from both pools, people with, you know, doctors and healthcare providers, as well as people with that have lived the condition. You know, at this intersection, on the provider side, you know, because we deal in complex health conditions, we make sure to really have this multidisciplinary approach for who we bring onto the platform. With ALS, you know, ALS is such a complex condition. We have neurologists, we have scientists, you know, the person who worked on the SOD1 gene, Timothy Miller's on the platform. We have occupational therapists, some of the world's leading speech language pathologists, nutritionists, palliative care specialists, nurses, social workers. And so really, all of the folks that touch the condition, we get representations or we get folks from there that can represent those functions and then the questions that patients have. The other really exciting category that we have on the platform is actually nonprofits. Nonprofits play such an integral role to this ecosystem in helping teach and educate and raise awareness for ALS. ALS-DEI has been one of the best partners of ours. On Roon, in the nonprofit and advocacy section, you'll find all of the leaders at ALS-DEI, Nadia Sethi, you know, Alan Premisari, Carol Hamilton, really walking through people questions about the mission of ALS-DEI, the organization's mandate, and to also just really understand some of the harder questions around science and how ALS works. Nadia answers a simple question like, what are biomarkers, which we all had, I had at least in the early journey of going through ALS, in a very clear and simple way. And so, you know, we love working with ALS-DEI for being great partners and just being clear, empathetic communicators to the ALS community. So.
Got it. So you've covered a little bit about where it's available and things like that, but just sort of the kind of nitty gritty of if people are interested in using this, you know, how do they get on it and start seeing some of this content?
Yeah, so for everyone listening, go to roon.com, roon.com. We called it Roon. Roon is a nod to my father, Arun, who was the first person in my life that was diagnosed with ALS. That was one of his nicknames. Roon backwards is Noor, which means light in a time of darkness in Arabic. And so the service is really about giving people information and hope. Once you go on our website, there's sort of two ways to use the app. You can download the app on if you have an iPhone, and if you're on iOS, there's an app version. If you don't want to download an app and just use it, you can use it on the desktop, and then we will, or on mobile web. And you know, one of our most requested thing is to build an Android app, which we will be doing later in the year. But today, roon.com, you can browse on a desktop or download the app or browse on your phone. It takes less than a minute to create an account. And if you are someone navigating ALS, we urge you to also invite your family members and friends or anyone that's part of the journey. If you're a caregiver, we urge you to invite the person living with ALS as well. I think one of our biggest insights is making sure everyone in a healthcare journey has access to the same information so that no single person has to play that role of translation. This is already hard, but then if you have to translate to your friends or people in your care circle, it's an additional, you know, tax. And so the goal of the app is to make really anyone navigating the condition and anyone around the condition to all have the same knowledge base to be able to help the person navigating ALS in the most effective way.
Mm-hmm. And then, so what happens if someone signs up for the app and starts browsing around and they have a question that isn't on the app yet, is there a way for them to submit that question and potentially get it answered?
Yeah, so when you come to the app, there's a few different surfaces. You know, there's this one space that is editorial, which gives you content and common questions, featured questions. There's a search functionality where you can search the corpus of over 1,000 questions, as well as the transcripts. And then there are these guides where you can basically browse topically. But now if the service doesn't have an answer to a question that you have in mind, that happens quite frequently. Every day we see people have, you know, something very specific and unique. What we do is you can suggest a question. And so there's a little button that says, ask, suggest a question. We then take that question. We then look at the most common questions that people have asked. And then we go back to our providers and medical content creators. And because it's a Q&A app, it's so easy to shoot. So very often they'll take out their phone, they'll shoot an answer, we review it and then put it on the app. And so with each question that someone asks, the app gets better and smarter, because each time you ask a question, it then gets added to the collective base of really all questions, and then anyone can access it. So we also urge anyone listening to ask questions if you don't find them on the service. And it, you know, it's very easy to submit a question.
Awesome. So just kind of getting to the end of the questions I have here. You already said a lot about Ruin's plans for the future, but is there anything else you want to say about how you're going to be expanding or continuing to build out this app going forward?
Yeah, so we think of growth for Ruin on kind of three dimensions. The first is just making the app as valuable to people navigating the journey. You know, we have really a roadmap of about 12 months of just really interesting things we want to build. And so every 2 weeks, the app should get better. It should be faster. It should be easier to search. It should be easier to add people to a care circle. It should have more content. And so the app will just continue to get better, both from a content perspective. We add more people, add more perspectives, as well as the pure functionality of the app. The other dimension of growth is our audience. And as I mentioned earlier, this app has to be in the hands of people around the world. It's almost more important that we get it out to people in what I call healthcare deserts, where there are no ALS clinicians, where neurologists actually may not even understand or have seen an ALS patient in their career, and where people really are starved for basic information. And so international expansion is the second dimension. And then the third is actually condition growth. Today we work on two conditions, glioblastoma and ALS. And, you know, it's been so inspiring to see the ALS world and the GBM world come together to really show the entire health industry what is possible, you know, when a small group of experts and patients and caregivers come together. And so these insights we've had from ALS can be applicable for multiple conditions. And so in the next few months and years, you'll see us really building companion apps for people with dementia, for really all of cancers, for people navigating cardiovascular conditions, because the insight is the same, right? Which is the internet is a very, very vast, crazy place. It's designed to create more content and increases the feeling of feeling overwhelmed. And, you know, every human on the planet, when they're going through something really hard, health-related, wants instant access to experts explaining, teaching, answering questions, you know, in a companion app. And so our vision is to build that for all of health. But ALS is really the kind of the beacon, if you will, where other people are noticing this, they're noticing us, and they're saying, hey, can we do this for other conditions?
Great. Well, yeah, thanks so much for joining us today.
Okay, great. Awesome. Thank you, Jonathan.
To learn more about Ruin, you can visit them at roon.com. There are currently no treatments to stop or reverse ALS, but the ALS Therapy Development Institute is working to change that. To learn more about ALS TDI and our research to end ALS, visit ALS.net. Thanks for listening.